Welcome. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you're an important part of our EWTN family. And we are so delighted that you've welcomed us into your home. We certainly would love to hear from you. So you can send us an email with a question or a comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com and check us out on Facebook. So today, the world is filled with so much noise and conflict and anger. And we often find it difficult to truly listen with love, which is what we're called to do as Christians. So today, we look to a powerful piece of wisdom from the letter of James to guide us in this discussion. So our question for today's show is this: what wisdom do you find in the admonition, "Everyone should be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger"? And that's from the book of James 1, verse 19. And how can it be applied in our daily conversations? Big question, little verse, and boy, oh boy, can this little tongue do a lot of damage in a minute. Yeah. And I always like what Dr. Ray Guarendi says. In the taming of the tongue, you never have to apologize for what you didn't say. That's important. Yeah. It's good in marriage. It's especially important with parents and children in the forming and the raising and the power of words and what we speak over our children out of anger, the importance of that. So it is good that we are quick to listen and slow to speak. Just try that. Yeah. I mean, if I did that, I wouldn't speak. But it's important, especially to be a good listener. We have two ears and one mouth. And so just look at your anatomy and say, God, I should listen more and speak less.
So we want to hear from you. We want you to call us or email us, Facebook us. And we want you to respond to that verse. Everyone should be quick to hear or quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. Are you familiar with that verse? Do you try to apply that in your marriage, your family, your friends, your enemies, somebody who's talking to you? So how's that working out for you? How difficult is it for you? Or maybe you know somebody who actually does that in your life and they're a blessing. 1-800-221-9460. 205-271-2980. Please give us a call. Tell us your thoughts on this way of communication. We'll be right back. There's plenty more to come. Please don't go away.
Today's show is this: what wisdom do you find in the admonition, "Everyone should be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger"? And that's from the beautiful book of James, chapter 1, verse 19. And how can it be applied in daily conversations, especially in marriages, in parenting, and especially at workplaces? Give us a jingle at 1-800-221-9460. Outside North America, 205-271-2980. Well, a penny for your wise thoughts, Mr. P.
Oh, well, you know, I like easy things to remember and direct lines, you know, so I, in terms of communications, you know, with people. And that's why we've written the face prayer, which we're not going to do today. But one of the ways in communication for me that's so critical is to seek the face of Jesus Christ in every face before I think, speak, and touch myself or anyone else, to seek the face of Christ in someone. That goes a long way for me in terms of my communications. Years back, this verse really meant a great deal to me. I memorized that verse, thought of it as a dance step, you know, the quick, slow, slow, quick, slow, slow, quick, slow, slow. That's the dance. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. I need that, because we so often are quick to speak and then quick to anger, something sets us off. And we haven't even listened to what's going on, what the person's saying. I kind of forgot about this verse. I've been using other things, but I got back. It's like the Lord, you know, because we think about what do we want to share on shows on Monday. And he like brought that back to me. And it's just, it's very effective. I've been trying to do this. And it's been interesting to see me fail on numerous, at least I'm aware of it. Because it's not just knowing the words, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. I've learned in the failure, you need the grace of God. Mm. You need Almighty God, because maybe I'm just built to speak quickly, to give the advice, to move into this. Don't you see? Don't you know? Or to get a little ticked off about a certain situation or what this what's happening to me in the midst of this conversation. So we've got to just listen, not just hear. James, when he says hearing, he's meaning really listening. It's not just that you hear things, but are we really listening? Are we making time and space for this person to speak to us? Are we looking, you know, with our eyes into their eyes? Not piercing, but, you know, just kind of making eye contact and being there. Do we really want to know what the person's saying, or do we have all the advice ready to share? Because I just notice I cut people off at times, or other people are cutting me off. I do notice when people are not listening to me, you know. And there's so few listeners. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's hard because you're just kind of moving along. But you know when somebody's really listening. So I've been trying to do this, and we had a big gathering at somebody's house. And there was a lot of people in that place. I just think I'm really going to try to listen. And the more you listen, people know if you're listening or not. Mm-hmm. And then they kind of unpack this. But, you know, not to be judgmental, not to think you've heard what they've said, but to clarify, you know, do I understand you to be saying what you're saying? Is this what you mean by that? Can you tell me more? To ask open-ended questions so that they can unpack what they're saying. And then finally, after you're clear about what they're saying, if you need to respond, you can respond. But we're so quick, we're making judgments about things. We think we're hearing what they're saying, and we're taking them down a path. I didn't even say that. I mean, I don't remember that I said that. It's because somebody's not listening. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean you're going to agree what they got to say, but at least you should understand what they're saying and clarifying what's going on, and then you can, you know, kind of speak into, you know, what they're saying. Not quickly, but, you know, you got to know where to land the plane.
Right.
We do this in counseling with girls in crisis pregnancy. You know, we're landing the plane all over people. It's like, where's the runway? What is this person asking? Am I just going to land the plane in a place where they didn't even ask it? Scratching where somebody itches, right? Am I just scratch all over the place? You know, that's really love to listen and to take your time to cater to another person and what they're saying, to be present with them, and to give an answer, at least, that is what they're talking about. You may agree or may not agree with them. And then the question is, do I share this or not, or what? But listening's the first step. It's the step you gotta take, first step.
That is all true and important. I think and Dr. Ray Guarendi, you know, I could be like a little guru of his. He shares so much wisdom in his books and on his shows and his radio show. And he's authored a book, and it's called Living Calm. And as, you know, normally, you know, we get married. I was 19, you were 21, and we got married, and you bring your family of origin with you, right? Mm-hmm. How did my parents communicate? How did your parents communicate? How did your family? How do Italians communicate? How do German-Irish people communicate? And then, and so there's a conversion. Now we become Christians, and then all of that stuff has to come under the authority of Jesus. Just Jesus. And so how does God want me to respond? Do I respond like an impatient, angry person? Or is it my personality? I'm just a sanguine, choleric person, and I get to say this and do this, and that's just who I am, and you just need to hear it because that's me. No, that's not an excuse. Nothing, none of our ways, our personalities, our culture, nothing is an excuse for you not to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. We have to be formed in that way. We have to say, Jesus, renew my mind, renew my heart, And another thing that Dr. Ray talks about in that great book, Living Calm, and I highly recommend it, is responding with your emotional temperature. When someone talks to you, what's happening to your body? Are you paying attention to your body? Yeah. Am I getting angry? Is what you're really getting on my nerves when you say that? You're just pushing my buttons and, you know, all those lovely things that we say. And why are you getting angry? Well, I'm not responsible for you getting angry. You're not responsible for my getting angry. At the end of the day, the only person we're responsible for is us, just you. What you said, what you did, how you responded. I mean, that's it. And at the end of the day, you have to have an examination of conscience and say, Lord, did I listen? Did I overspeak? Was I full of judgment? Did I need to say that? Did I come on too strong? I mean, for me, I know myself, and it's the journey of life, right? I'm getting older. There's still more of joy to kill.
Yeah.
You're 70, I'm 67, and you learn this along the way. It's not like, because I thought, as a new lovely young bride that I was, that I had enough love inside of me to love Jim all the days of my life. I mean, I was infatuated. I was madly in love with you. I'm still madly in love with you. But you know, it's that, oh my gosh, sometimes we hurt each other. Sometimes we say things quickly. Sometimes we didn't listen the way we should have. Sometimes we spoke in anger to our children. And you have to correct that. But the beauty of mercy and grace is failing with people, somebody you love, somebody you can trust, somebody you can be vulnerable with and say, and I've done this with my staff. I've said things, moved things maybe in a fast way, and I've said to my staff, you know what? That wasn't the best version of me, and I'm sorry. You have to say that. You have to be sorry. And then, so they see that you're a human being and you're working it out. In marriage, we have to do that. We have to model that with our children. Otherwise, they think like, mommy and daddy, you know everything. You're like gods to them. Well, you're not. You're just a human being, and you're trying to make your way. And so there's a lot of deaths along the way, but you need to be informed. You need to be informed by the Word of God. You need to be informed by the catechism, and you need to be informed by holy Christian authors, Dr. Ray Guarendi, men and women out there who know their stuff and have done their homework, who want to aid you to be the better version of you.
We got a quote here from the late Pope Francis, a fond memory. Pope Francis says, when someone speaks to you, wait until they finish to understand them well. That's pretty intelligent and wise. Just wait until they finish. That's part of the problem, which is always in there. Wait until they finish, and then if you feel led, say something. So he's saying, listen all the way, get it all the way through, and then pray about, do you have to say something or not? Maybe they don't need any feedback, or you don't want to give feedback. The deal was you were listening to them. But the important thing is to listen. And so that's the first step. That's the quickest step. That combats our narcissism, our know-it-all-ism. And that's, or maybe we're just nervous, and so we've got to speak into it. So many people are sharing with us. They're not asking for a solution, but you want to give them a solution. They don't want a solution. They're just telling you about their emotions and where they are. And you might answer them emotion to emotion, that you understand what's going on with them emotionally. Not to solve the problem, they're not asking for that. So listening is just, it's a real art.
And we had to learn that in our marriage, right? Because I would say something to you like I was sharing an emotional experience about something that happened maybe at the grocery store, and I was with the kids, and it was all crazy, and, you know, and I just wanted to vent. I wanted you to hear my heart. Or you could say, why don't you shop in another grocery store?
Right.
And I'm like, no, or something's going on and I don't want you to fix it. I just want you to hear me. And you have to learn that, you know, and we would say to each other, do you want an answer or do you just want to tell me what was going on, right?
Right, that's helpful. We have a comment here. People today have a habit of oversharing, and it's often without boundaries. It's important to remember to bridle our tongues, especially if what we say can create scandal. We need to listen with open hearts, but also be mindful of what we say. Regina from Pennsylvania. I wish I could remember all what she just said. I need to be listening. I mean, there was so much, mm-hmm. so much in it. Over talking. I got to be aware of that.
Right.
You know, like you're giving counsel and advice and go, they didn't even ask for that. Mm-hmm. They just want to be heard. So what's my problem? But at least when you're thinking, I want to live my day being quicker to listen, slow to speech and slow to action, then you catch yourself maybe. Oh, God, give me grace so that I don't behave in this way. You know, that I'm speaking when I shouldn't be speaking. Here's another comment here, babe.
It says, listen, don't speak unless God gives you something to say, which is true. It's important when, you know, sometimes you're listening and I need an answer from you. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that happens in marriage, right? Maybe some men are quiet. They're less verbal, and so they're not going to give a response. And it's like, give me something, say something, like, tell me you're angry, tell me you're happy. We should have to do that with our sons. I would have to teach them how to articulate what their feelings were. This is the rest of that comment. Okay. Listen, don't speak unless God gives you something to say. No need to get angry if they don't or can't hear. It is God alone who opens the ear to hear what needs to be heard when God determines it is time. And that's Paula from Facebook.
That's helpful, you know, because I think sometimes we're just in conversations or hearing stuff. We're thinking, they're asking me for a solution. And I got to give the solution here. I'm an expert on this. Or what if I don't respond? That isn't it. You just need to be intimate, to be listening, to connect with someone, and then pray that God would give you the wisdom to speak or not to speak, as Pope Francis said. We're going to take a break at this point. There's plenty more to come. Please don't go away.
It was a weekend of celebrations in Rome, and to give us her report on the recent events of Rome, we're going to go to beautiful Joan Lewis. Joan, what do you have for us?
Well, greetings, Jim and Joy, and another exceptional weekend here in Rome. Now, Friday, as part of the Jubilee of Seminarians, Priests, and Bishops, the Holy Father Pope Leo ordained 32 new priests in St. Peter's Basilica. And he invited the priest, he said, always stay close to the Lord and let yourselves be constantly shaped by his love. Our hope, said the Pope, is grounded in the knowledge that the Lord never abandons us. He is always at our side. Now, the main event of the weekend, of course, was Sunday's Solemnity of Saints Peter and Paul. They are apostles, of course, and the patron saints of the city of Rome. And it's a very heartfelt celebration every year in Vatican City and in the city of Rome. And the big event of that day is the papal mass in St. Peter's Basilica, where the Pope imposes the pallium on the newly named archbishops, the new metropolitan archbishops named since the last June 29th celebration. The pallium is worn over vestments. It is a symbol of the authority of the archbishops and of their link to the See of Peter. And it's a white woolen band about this wide of wool. It's circular, it goes over the shoulders of the archbishops, a piece hanging in front and a piece hanging in back, and it's embroidered with six black crosses. Now, only the Pope and Metropolitan Archbishops wear the pallium. So in 2015, Pope Francis had changed this ceremony, asking that the official investiture of the pallium take place in the archdiocese of the Metropolitan Archbishop. However, Sunday, Pope Leo went back to the traditional ceremony, personally placing the pallium on the shoulders of the new archbishops. And 54 metropolitan archbishops have been named since last year, eight of whom were American. Now, in his homily, the Holy Father focused on two aspects of the lives of Saints Peter and Paul, of their faith. He focused on the ecclesial communion and the vitality of faith. And he invited the faithful, he said, contemplate the two apostles who, though different in their gifts and approaches, lived a fruitful harmony of diversity. And then sometime after Mass, of course, addressing the faithful from the window of his study, the faithful waiting in St. Peter's Square under a scorching sun, the Pope thanked them for the June 29th Peter's, for their contribution, for the June 29th Peter's Pence collection. This is taken up annually throughout the world on that day. And the Pope said that their contribution, our contribution, is a sign of communion with the papacy. And this collection allows the Pope to help disaster relief situations, to contribute to charity wherever needed, and to help vulnerable communities. Now, one last thing about the June 29th celebration in St. Peter's Basilica. There's a statue of Pope Peter, and he is of St. Peter, on the right-hand side of the main aisle, and he's on a pedestal. His right foot is practically, it's worn shiny from people touching it or kissing it over the centuries. Well, on this day of the year, the Pope is dressed in lavish vestments, has a papal tiara, he's our first Pope, and has a papal ring. So quite a sight. On that note, back to you.
Joan, thank you so much. And we also heard that those weren't the only celebrations in Rome. Joan Lewis celebrated her birthday, so we all want to wish you a very happy and blessed birthday. You are a precious and irreplaceable life. We love you, Joan. Mm.
Thank you, Joan.
Be sure to join us on Wednesday when we have an author and speaker, Cassie Everts, on the show to speak about the newest edition of her book, Nursery of Heaven, Miscarriage, Stillbirth, and Infant Loss in the Lives of the Saints and Today's Parents. You want to talk about some people that need to be heard and listened to. Well, God bless you. God bless all of your loved ones. Keep it on EWTN and be slow to speak, quick to listen, slow to anger. God bless you now. Bye-bye.